All through the month of May, the 14th annual Children's Touring Opera will, hopefully, on the part of the producers and performers, ensnare the imaginations of young audiences with The Last Book on Earth, an original fast-paced story with new lyrics set to beloved classical music and performances by emerging singers at Illinois Wesleyan University, such as Sarah Caligeri. The author of the show is Nancy Steele Brokaw, and she says the kids' opera is bold and brash and attention-getting, because it has to be.
We're in a gymnasium with 500 or 600 kids sitting on the floor at the end of the school year. We need to hold their attention. We have to get it right away and keep it.
Tell me about the storyline of The Last Book on Earth. And any book lover like myself is horrified at the thought of that.
Yeah, I was terrified when I read the title. I was like, no, The Last Book on Earth, that's traumatizing. But it's really cool because it tackles issues of media presence for children, as well as the importance of telling a well-written story, as it follows these three kids who are addicted to their phones. And after like an electromagnetic shriek, I guess, all their phones go dead and they're locked in this bookstore and they have to go through different stories to kind of save the world from the loss of stories all together. And it's really cool, and it's a very time present piece.
So what storybook characters do we have coming to life in this piece?
Bob Mangliardi plays the bad guy, and actually this time three bad guys.
Well, he's really just getting greedy there.
I know, and kids love him as the bad guy.
He knows how to twirl a mustache.
He does. So this year he is Captain Hook. And then Sarah will go in as the character Izzy, as Peter Pan, and try to get the hidden talisman clock from the crocodile, which will be our stage manager in an awesome crocodile costume.
What a gig.
Yep. And then the next story, the bad guy is the witch in Hansel and Gretel, and Sarah will be Gretel. And we have then the tenor coming in as Hans, and they have to rescue a gingerbread man or get thrown in the oven. So, you know, we always have to find that line between keeping the fifth and sixth grade boys amused and not terrifying the kindergartners. That's a fine art. Then the last story, the genie from Aladdin is a bad guy in this show. And all three of the younger characters go in and try and rescue the lamp. And all these talismen have to come back to the bookstore before the sun sets, which we'll actually see behind the proscenium setting, to save the day.
Nancy, you're the librettist, and the lyrics that you write are set to classical music.
Right.
What are some of the classics we're expecting to hear? I know you've got Mozart.
Bob has two beautiful baritone arias, from one's from Cosi Van Tutti and one's from Don Giovanni, and then three of them sing a trio from Marriage of Figaro, also Mozart. And then who else do we have?
There's Donizetti, and there's Gounod from Romeo and Juliet in there too.
Verdi, Giuseppe Verdi's from Rigoletto.
You know, you realize the kids are going to watch this show. They're going to hear these famous melodies from these classical artists. And then down the road in their life, they're going to hear one of those melodies
exactly.
And go, oh, I remember that.
Exactly. That's what we hope. Yeah. Or even more immediately, maybe have an idea that opera is something they don't like and come away madly cheering for the whole show. So that's our passion.
My favorite thing is talking to the kids afterwards. And last year, it was my first year, so I didn't know what to expect. And one of the kids came up to me and she was like, I want to be an opera singer just like you. And just seeing that from such a young age just made me realize that what I was doing now is important, because when I was younger, I didn't have anything like that. I had people coming and touring about history, so I always knew I wanted to be an actor and do something like that, but I never saw anyone present me with classical music. And if they're getting that instruction now and kind of understanding, hopefully that can foster more appreciation for the art down the line, and it's something that will probably build opera so it won't die out.
So, Sarah, you have some experience now performing for children. What are some of the special challenges there for you as a performer?
Trying to not, like, talk over them when they're laughing and to know when to keep going and when to just be like, okay, yeah, I was really funny. Like, you know, because it is. It's a funny show. And as you're reading it, you're like, this is the best. Like, it's a challenge to kind of not trivialize it, I guess, because you're playing these goofy characters. Like last year I was Starry Sing Sing, a diva soprano who was British. So like it was hard not to overdo that and make it funny. But this year with more down-to-earth characters and kind of traditional stories, you've got a little bit of the background because all of them have seen Peter Pan, hopefully. And it's just trying to make sure you present a realistic character for these kids.
And I think one thing that we want to do, we all know arts funding is cut in school after school, and a lot of these kids won't be exposed to theater or classical music or even musical productions, perhaps, outside of school until they see us. So we have a real passion for exposing them to that. And then at the end, Bob always says, if this is interesting to you, if you think you might like to sing or build a set, or make a prop, or act, or build a costume, these things will be available to you in junior high and high school. And that's a revelation to a lot of the kids we see.
Sarah, do you think you'd like to go on and perform in children's theater and still focus on kids?
Yeah, I'm looking at a couple of graduate school programs, and one of them actually focuses on having a children's opera in the spring, which I really enjoy. The kids are the most genuine audience, and they're going to tell you exactly what they think of you, and they just give so much more than traditional audiences, and I feel, because I perform in the school productions and over the summer and then for the kids, and it's just a more rewarding experience to see the pure joy on a kid's face than when you're done with an opera and like, oh, good job, you sang that coloratura aria, great, instead of like, that was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. It's just more rewarding.
Nancy, you've been working with Prairie Fire Theater for a number of years, partnering with the IWU School of Music to put on these productions in schools and libraries and so forth. When you're at the productions and you're watching the kids watch the show, what do you see there?
That's about the only thing I watch. I love to watch audiences. Well, I learn so much. I learn, well, that worked or that didn't work. And, you know, we're very flexible. We have a great production team and we can tweak things if we need to. But when I see them quiet and leaning forward, you know, onto their knees, it's the best. It's just the best. It means all our work has come full circle. And it's just thrilling. And I, like Sarah, I work on a lot of shows, but this is my favorite.
I don't know how it is you can actually entertain kindergartners and fifth graders at the same time, because they're very different from
each
other.
They are, and I always try to embed some stuff for adults, too.
Okay, good. Kind of like a Warner Brothers cartoon from the
1940s? Exactly.
So since you are performing in schools, what do you do in concert, if you'll pardon the expression, with the teachers in those schools? I mean, is there maybe a study program that goes along with this, a study booklet?
Yeah, for the last, I think, 5 or 6 years, I've written a curriculum packet that we send out. And in it, if the teacher can choose what they want, but there's a guide to opera terms and then some. I never shy away from using big words in shows, so some of those are in there if they want to expand their vocabulary. And then some prompts for the kids, and these are always really fun to see. Draw your favorite character, or if you were, say, Izzy, Sarah's character, how would you do the sword fight, or how would you like your costume to be? And just have them think about it from a lot of points of view, and then there's a scene for them to act out. So we always send that out to the schools ahead of time. I think teachers look forward to it, too. In fact, there's no question. It's the end of the school year. They need a laugh, too. Our experience has been that adults really love it, too. It's just a 40-minute romp with beautiful music and a story that's, I mean, good stories for children are good stories for adults, always. So I hope adults will come and not think they have to bring a child, because just like Sarah said, there's stuff in there for adults that only they will get, and it's just a fun 40 minutes.
That's writer Nancy Steele Brokaw and performer Sarah Caligeri from Prairie Fire Theater and the Illinois Wesleyan University School of Music. The Last Book on Earth tours through Central Illinois schools throughout the month of May. I'm Laura Kennedy.